Okay, Rabosai. The Gemara and the Vav Amid Beis gets into a tangent here. It's not really a continuation of discussion of how we know Shaul and Vidorshin for 30 or 14 days, but the Gemara asks as a tangential question, the Nechta of Rabesha, the Chodesh Rishon, Bahadur Nechta of the Chodesh Sheni, once you mention these Tzokin, they say, Taka, how come Bamidbar Perak Aleph is in the second month, is in ER, and Bamidbar Perak Tes is in Nisan, is out of order? Amar Ibnashva, Tachlifa, Mashay Rav, Zoso Meris, Saint Motam, Mokhabas Ora. Okay, this source of the famous Tal, we're familiar from Rashi El Chumash, he quotes it right and left, of Ein Mokdam Uma Ocher Batorah. The Torah is clearly not in chronological order. Okay, that's pretty poshut. No two ways about that. Amrav Pavar. Lo Amrav Betrain Yonim Bilchan and Yonim Aydim Mokdam Mokdam Aydim Mokdam Mokdam. Says Rav Papa, that's only true in two different Yonim. Like, you know, Parmid Barfarik Aleph and Parmid Barfarik Tess are two very different in Yonim. But Bechad in Yonim Aydim Mokdam Mokdam Aydim Mokdam Mokdam within one Inyan, then let's say Rashi says, well, there's very different opinions where to draw the line. Rashi says, then one parsha, one paragraph, then, of course, it's in order. Dilote mahachi, klalo prati, meklalo mashal prat, demo prat uklal hu, betu prat uklal, nasa klal musaf al ha prat, demo klalo prat hu. Right? So he says, because we have a rule of klalo prat and prat uklal. What's the rule? Klalo prat, we go by the prat. If there's a general word and a specific word, then it's restricted to the specific. Prat to cloud, we go by the cloud, we go by the generality. Meaning whatever's last wins. Ah, but how do we know what's last? Maybe it's in a different order. Really what's first is last and last is first. So how can we use this mida? So it must be that within one inyan, everything is in order. Ihachi afilu chain yoni nami. Hani chal manda amar a cloud prat hamruchakim zemi zain don so cloud prat shakr manda amar don in my ika limar. Hold on a second, but if you say the rules of Klal Prat prove that the Torah is in order, then even in two inyanim it has to be in order. Well, this makes sense, the Landomer, that we don't use the rule of Klal Prat if it's far away. Then it makes sense. If it's close together, it's one inyan, it's in order, we use the rule. If it's far apart, then it's two inyanim, it's not in order, so we don't use the rule. But according to the Landomer, that we use the rule of Klal Prat even if it's far away, how does that work with the Ein Mokdim Mokdam Betorah? So no problem. I feel him under redundant, honey, milim, honey, yon, of old train, yon, and done. Even the man, the armor says we judge a cloud of pride, we're far away from each other. Far away just means a few words away from each other or the next pasuk. But even if the cloak is adjusted, it's a little far away from each other, but everyone agrees if it's in another Indian that you don't judge a cloud of pride or cloud, and that's fine. That then it works the fact that in another Indian it's not in order. Okay. That's the end of this discussion of the Gemara. And in terms of the chiluk in chad inyana and trei inyana, Tosfos here. Well, first Rashi, the Rabbi Kiva Eger, the Gilyon HaShas here points out. I assume you noticed I stole these three Myra Makomos from the Gilyon HaShas. He points out there are three Rashis which seem to go against the maskana of our sukkah. What does Rashi says? Rashi says at the end of Parshas Bereishis, V'hayu yamav. Me'av esrim shana is written in the same paragraph after the birth of Shem Chaman Yafes. Rashi says really before the birth of Shem Chaman Yafes. And in Mokdim Bukhar B'Torah, even within one inyan. Likewise, Rashi says, Vayomer Adonai Noma Tzasi Chein Be'inecha. Okay, this depends, obviously, in the 2 days in Rashi, when Avram says, does he mean God or does he mean, I mean, he means my Lord. Does he mean God or does he mean the guest who he's calling my Lord? But if he means Hashem, then he told Hashem, wait for me, Machas Orchem, before he ran to them. But the Pasuk says he ran to them and then said, Vayomer Adonai. So it must be out of order even two psukim in a row within one inyan. And the third Rashi Rikvigers Mitzayan is in Parshas Shmos, by Yoshev Arts of Mitzrayim, that Yikach Moshe's Matil can be a dough. Rashi says, Ein Motem Racha B'Torah. He didn't go to Mitzrayim and then take the matah. Once he went to Mitzrayim, how could he take something that was in Midyan? Rather, he took the matah and then went to Mitzrayim. So Rashi in three places says, Ein Motem Racha B'Torah, even within one inyan. That seems to be against our Gemara. So, what Rabbi Kiva Eger just pointed out. But obviously, the answer is that Rashi holds like Tosfos here. Tosfos here says, Dibur Maskel, Avol Betrayin Yonim. No, Dibur Maskel, Avol Bechad In Yonah. He says, when we say that Bechad Inyan, the Pesukim are in order, Hayindake Gulech Adrash Batam, only when there's no reason to think otherwise. I mean, this just means Minastam Chad Inyan is in order. But if there's a proof that it's out of order, even within Chad Inyan, you're allowed to say out of order. So why can you follow Prat within Chad Inyan? Oh, you first check that there's no proof that it's out of order. And if you don't see any proof that it's out of order, then you know it's in order and you can do follow Prat. And what's his proof? His proof is he doesn't bring a proof from these three Rashis because who says these three Rashis are correct, right? He has to bring a proof from Shas. The proof is, Kiseski Sakol Yisakel O Yoro Yireh, when it's referring to the Onesh of Skila. And again, the way we interpret it as referring to the Onesh of Skila, Sakol Yisakel means you throw stones on him. Yoro Yireh means you throw him off a cliff. And it says, Sakol Yisakel O Yoro Yireh, you stone him, and if he doesn't die, then you throw him off a cliff. And yet we know in Maseches Sanhedrin that you throw him off the cliff, and if he doesn't die, then you stone him, which is two words in a row. So that proves that even Mechaninyan, Ein Mochtem, Mechanin Yesh Mochtem Rocher Menastah. But if there's a proof, then even Mechaninyan Ein Mochtem Umar Ocher. And Rashi obviously holds like Tosos, because Rashi in those three places had a proof. He wasn't saying Stam for fun. He had a proof when there's a proof. So what does Tosos hold? Right? If you're talking about Chad Inyan, Chad Inyana, and Shrei Inyani, Tosfos and Rashi would have to agree with him. We've proven says that Moktam Uma Ochar Minasam, but in Yesh Ochacha, they ain't Moktam Uma Ochar. And as the Marsha points out, therefore, in Trein Yoni, what does he hold? In Trein Yoni, he holds that even Minastam ain't Mokta Mamocher, right? A bit of a finish. After all, just there has to be a difference in Chad and Trein Yoni. So here you have to say that, and this worked well with Rashi's Pasi, even Minastam ain't Mokta Mamocher in Trein Yoni. Okay, this is clearly, I mean, we noticed a few places in these other bonds. This works well with the Shita of Rashi, who says Ein Mokta Mamocher all over, like even, you know, if there's not such a good proof, etc. Okay, but even what does the Marsha say? He says, no, even if you have no reason to think it's out of order, in Trein Yonei, it still is always suffing in order, suffing out of order. How do they know that? After all, they only establish that Bamidbar Aleph and Tess are out of order because there's a proof, right? So how do we know that Trein Yonei, even when there's no proof, might be out of order, even when there's no proof, has no order, when the Gemara only brought a case where there was a proof, after a Chodesh HaSheni followed by Chodesh HaRishon, there's no greater proof than that, it's out of order. So here the Marasha says, I can't do better than that. Says Svara, Mina Svara of their own Svara, they thought that in two Inyanim, since we see it's out of order sometimes when it's proven, Mi Svara can always be out of order. In one Inyan, we see it's out of order sometimes when it's proven, but Mi Svara, it's only when it's proven. Okay, so it's really the Chilk and Chani on Trein, just a Svara.
What
is it tricky to figure out what exactly you're
saying?
We manage
to mean that unless otherwise proven, the assumption is out of order.
No, it's only a suffix in order. It could happen to be in order, right? It's random. It could be in order, could not be out of order. It could be out of order. Say Ein Mokdim Ocher, I don't mean it has to be backwards. Okay. I mean it's not necessarily in order. It's not. We can't assume it's in order. We have to be masufik.
And that's the tricky. I'm saying, at the end of the day, you still need a hochacha.
Even if we have a proof that it is?
What?
Even if we have a proof that it is in order?
Even if we have a proof that it's in order, you mean?
In Trein Yonei. Me kids somebody.
In Trein Yonei, if we have a proof that it's out of order, we know it's out of order. If we have a proof that it's in order, we know it's in order. And if we don't have any proof, then we're in a suffix. Then we don't know.
Now, obviously, if we have a proof, we have a proof. But minastam, we never know it's an order until we have a proof, right? It might be in order, or it might be out of order, obviously, until proven otherwise. Okay. And that works well in the Gemara, says the Marsha. That's why you can't darshan klalu prat, because you never know if it's an order or not an order. I mean, in a stam case, if you have proof, you have proof. In a stam case, you never know. And most cases are stam cases. You know, you tell me, you know, whether, I don't know, stam case, that the mitzvah of challah in Parshas Korach, or the mitzvah of, you know, Kiddush Leviyim in Parshas Balosta. Are they in order or out of order? Like, in 99% of the cases, there's no way to know. There's no dates. There's no way to prove anything. You just don't know. Okay, the Chidushi Haran differs with Tosfos a little. He does not like, meaning when Tosfos says the Chaninyon, it could be out of order, the Ran does not like going so far. The Ran thinks that's going just a little too far. What does the Ran say? He says, no, in one Inyan, always Mashenichta Muktam Ne'amar Muktam. It is always in order that it was said to Moshe. It is always in chronological order. V'afilu hachi heichad yikahokach afisha ne'amar muktam eyo nasa magamil mochar. It's always in chronological order, says B. Kedushi Harad. He says, no. It's always in chronological order. Chaninyan is always in chronological order. Ah, sukkel yisukkel lo yaro yiyare. No, that just means the way we practice it is a different order than it was told to Moshe. But Moshe wrote it in chronological order. Hashem told him sukkel yisukkel. Oh, yaro yiyare. Right? Stone or push off a cliff. And that's exactly what Moshe was supposed to write. Now, it's two options. Hashem told one option first, the other option second. Well, by the time we get to practicing it, we figure out that we have to do these two options, not in the order Hashem said them, just because logically that's how it works out. But it was said in chronological order. The fact that we implemented in different order doesn't change the fact that the Torah was said in order. That just means that by the time it gets to implementation, sometimes we implement it in different order than Hashem said to Moshe. And that's not so crazy. After all, you know, there's some a lot of mitzvahs that, you know, first Hashem said the mitzvah not to eat the Gidanasha, then he said the mitzvah Shechita. Nonetheless, first we shech, then we take out the Gidanasha. Right? Okay, the Nitziv goes even further than the Rome Sada here. He says it really is in chronological order the first time we put it into practice, just not subsequently. Why? Because it's really talking about Har Sinai. And in Har Sinai, it's a little tricky, because how do you execute someone who went up to Har Sinai? What's the technical problem of executing someone who went up to Har Sinai? You're not allowed to get it, right? So he says, when it comes to executing someone up to Har Sinai, you can't throw him off a cliff because you're not allowed to go get him, right? So therefore, you have to first try to stone him, and if it didn't work, to stone him, then you would take big and long sticks and try to push him down the mountain. But in that case, stoning is the better option. Okay, that's also a remez for the doros to Yubei Skilo, which have nothing to do with the original context, and the remez of the doros to do with a different order. So he just takes the Kedusha Haran one step further. For Romi Sunday, it's always in chronological order, even though we might practice it differently. That just do with our practice, not with the order of the Torah. And the always in chronological order, and how about in practice, then the Ran says we go out of order, but that's not because of Torah. That's just because sometimes we practice things in a different order than we were commanded for various reasons. And says that it's originally in order. Nowadays, out of order. Okay, so that they argue on the Chiddush of Rashi and Tosfos, and they would say Bechan and Yonah, it's always in chronological order, even though we practice it in a funny way. They would say, you know, the same thing comes up, by the way, when it comes to the drushes of Avodah Yom Kippurim, right? Something we do out of order. They said, no, it was set to motion that order, but for some technical reason, when we practice in a slightly different order. Now, the interesting question becomes, what about Treyanyani? Right? What does that mean about Treyanyani? As the Marshal points out, once Chadinyan is in order until proven otherwise, but could be out of order, Treyanyani have to be more disordered. So they have to be, might be in order, might not be in order, even without any proof. Once we say Chadinyan is always in chronological order, then what about Treyanyani? You could say Treyanyani is also in chronological order until proven otherwise. Or you could say, no, it's totally random. Here, it's not exactly clear. I don't think the Chidush HaRan says thing. I didn't bring down all the deeper masses of Chidush HaRan here. So, we should assume. I'll just look up the Chidush HaRan here. Daf Vav Beis. The Chidush HaRan himself, I thought, did not really commit himself. Train Yani Davad, I couldn't. Yeah, he doesn't. He doesn't explicitly say. The Netziv here does say the Hadein Mokdim Orchem Train Yani Hainu Afilu B'Shein Lanu Tama Ma'idima Torah Below Kosva Kaseder Kavu Parshias Halalu etc. Efsher Eino B'Seder. Okay, that he seems to be saying, says the Netziv. Same as Rashi to Tosfos, but you understand how you could say differently here. What could you say? You could say that, no, even in Treyan Yane, right, it's in order until proven otherwise. What's the Treyan Yane? You can't even prove that it's out of order. It can never be out of order. Treyan Yane is in order, but if you have a proof, it's out of then it's out of order. Who, in fact, holds that? Not in our sugya. Who holds that even in Train Yane, you have to assume that it's in order, unless you have a proof otherwise?
Ramban.
The Ramban on the Torah all over the place, right? The Ramban loves to argue on Rashi, loves to argue on the Ibn Ezra. Rashi and the Ibn Ezra on Torah feel very free to make use of the rule, Ein Mokdim Orchem Torah. And Ramban, remember SATs, the analogies, right? What would be the right one? Rambam miracles, Ramban ain mukdim amocher b'Torah. Right, it exists, but you minimize it as much as possible, right? Because you're really uncomfortable with it. You're stuck with it once in a while. But okay, maybe that's an exaggeration of the Rambam Shita, but that's not our topic. Okay. You have a good point. Let me get back to that in a second. But I think this is clearly the sheet of the Ramban in many places. For example, the Ramban in Parshas Korach, the beginning of Parshas Korach, right? When did the rebellion of Korach happen? I mean, here I must admit I'm not super partial to the Ibn Ezra. I think the Ibn Ezra was not as good a psychologist as the Ramban here, right? The Ibn Ezra says, why is Korach fighting over who got picked for what? And everyone fighting over who got picked for what right now? And Korach, which comes after Parshas Shlach. No, that was obviously happened in Parshas Balosta when he appointed the Kohanim and Levium. So it's out of order. Okay, the Ramban, I think, is a better psychologist here. He says, no, you don't understand people. They were upset about who he picked for leadership positions all along, but they went along with it as long as he was delivering Gula for them. Once Parshas Shlach happened, they weren't going to Eretz Yisrael anyway. Now all the old problem with Moshe surfaced and they rebelled against him. Okay, I'd like to rebut psychology here, but that's not the main point. The main point is that the Ibn Ezra says that this happened earlier in Parshas Balosta. He says, says it whenever he wants. Very explicitly, the whole Torah is in order, even Treyan Yane, right? We're talking about totally different partials here. We're not talking within one paragraph or any definition of Inya. We're talking about totally different stories. The whole Torah is in order unless there's a proof. Okay. You have a kasha, but you can't deny that the Ramban says what he says. We'll get back to it, of course. I'm not sure to our satisfaction, but we'll get back to it, right? So that's very clear in the Ramban. Ban and the Ramban would have to say, like, the Ran and the Nitziv here, that B'chan and Yonah, you never go out of order. You might practice it out of order, but the Torah is in chronological order. The train and Yonah, you could go out of order when it's proven, but Minastam, it is an order, and that's also clearly the impression you get. He has a great line in Parshas Tzav when he argues on the Ibn Ezra again. When he argues in the Ezra again, exactly when Hashem told Moshe the Parsha of the Miluim, Parsha Tzav, what does he say? Sorry, he argues here on Rashi. Rashi said that Mokta Merchim Torah was said earlier. The Lama Napoch Timur Lekim Chayim. Meaning, why should we switch the order of the words of God? Right? This is the Torah. This is a serious book. Now, again, the other answer might be Dafka, because the Torah in a serious book, we should switch the order. But he says, no, how can we change Hashem's words? Oh, he knows a Mokta Merchim. Yeah, that's when it's proven. But Menastam, you can't switch the order of the Torah. And that's why many other places, he doesn't always make a methodological point. He doesn't always say, according to my opinion, the main methodological point is Parshas Korach, but Midbar Tesai. That's what he says. That's his main point. We only say Mokta Merchim Torah when it's proven. But that's clearly the sentiment in Vayikra, in Parshas Tzav, rather, when he says, why should we hope if the real Kim Chayim? And therefore, we see the Shittah say all over the Torah. Rashi and or Ibn Ezra says it's out of order, and he refuses to admit it's out of order unless it's Mokrach 1,000%. Right, for example, the famous machlok is about the end of Parshas Mishpatim, right? Remember the whole Mamad of Bris at the end of Mishpatim? Rashi says it happened in the middle of Parshas Yisro. And the Ramban says, what are you talking about? Of course not. It happened exactly where it says it happened, right? Coming from the same sentiment. If there's no proof, you can't put things out of order. Likewise, in Kisisa, there is a more subtle point where Rashi says that Moshe's moving the Ohel was after Yom Kippur, which we put it a paragraph later. He says, no, why would you say it's out of order? It was after Shabbos Matamos, right? In the order we have it. The Ramban clearly has an agenda. Many places, I didn't bring them all, where Rashi and or Ibn Ezra says it's out of order, he says put it in order. And in two places, he says this is a sheet of mine. Don't think it's coincidence that 10 times I'm always putting things in order. And the real explicit place is Parshas Korach. I wrote already, even though here's where he wrote it more explicitly, you never say in Mokta Merchim unless it's proven. Okay, that's the Ramban. Now, Yaakov asks a good kasha, which is that the Marshal points out that our Gemara proves mefurish that Rashi and Tosfos are right about Trei and Yonei, about Chanan, you say whatever you want. Trei and Yonei and the Ramban is wrong. And Agav, let me just point out that this also works with the other Rashi in the beginning of our Sugya. Rashi says, "Ein Mokdim Ocher b'Torah lo hekpida Torah al Seder Mokdim Ocher." The Torah wasn't machbid. Again, you're never sure what he means of lohipida, but certainly the shot mashmas of lohipida, I mean, the Torah is not good at all. Like, it's not a value, not an important principle, not an important factor, right? It makes sense. Like, you know, it could just randomly be in order, not in order. Okay, the problem is, the Marshal pointed out, our Gemara is a proof for Rashi and Tosfos. Which is probably why the Nitziv didn't end up where the Ramban al Torah ended up. You know, okay, it's easy for the Ramban al Torah because he's writing in the Torah. He has a good few kilometers distance between where he's writing now and the second Pesachim. But that's not a valid answer. Right? The Marshal points out that this is a good raya for a papa. What did Rapapa say? Rav Papa says, well, if Ein Mokta Merchim Torah would be, if Ein Mokta Merchim Torah, so because there's Ein Mokta Merchim Torah between Yana, you can't do Talal Prat. What does that mean? Why not just check if there's a proof? Sounds like Min Hastam you can't do Talal Prat, right? What does he say? Min Hastam, E Asher Lidrosh, Wow, Prat, Betrayin Yana. That's a good proof that it's just random, and there's no way to know. For the Ramban, Rav Papa is very difficult, because what if Rav Papa says you can't do Klal Prat? How do you know maybe it's backwards? Just check. If there's no proof that it's backwards, you know it's forwards. So it's not Yaakov, it's the Marshal's Kasha on the Ramban, not that he's quoting the Ramban. And it's really not the Marshal's Kasha. I shouldn't put this on the Korah sheet. The Marshal starts by quoting the Marshal, who came a little bit before him. Often the Marshal starts by quoting the Marshal. They were contemporaries, but Marshal was a little before. They're the same general time period. Who asked this Kasha? So this is But by the way, from asking this kasha, you see that the Marshal agrees with the Ramban on the Torah.
Okay, I apologize. I should have put it on the Makor sheet, but it's not too late. I can read it from the back of my Gemara. Let me read you the Marshal. The Marshal's reacting to the Marshal, but the Marshal also doesn't quote Ramban on the Torah. Again, they all became Ramban on the Torah. Ramban on the Torah is not an obscure book. But they're not quoting it here, but nonetheless, he's agreeing with him. Says the Maharshal, give me half a second to find it. Says the Maharshal, Yesh lahakshos, my day in Kalavra, Dilma Lomri and Mokta Mokta Torah, Lehechadi go chacha. Maybe we only say in Mokta Mokta betraying Yonim and there's a chacha. Avo below chacha matam. Lama is not a man of the Torah. Why should we say him of the Torah? There's no chacha. So he says, Taka, this is difficult. Benira be'enai. Okay, he gives an answer. I admit his answer is a little dachuk, right? But he agrees with the Ramban. He says as an efsher, but Marshal, meaning, let me give you the name of the book. Right? That's the Maharshal in the back of the Gemara. So he agrees with the Ramban. He asks this kasha, right? Maharshal asks from our papa, right? So first of all, already we see someone's on the side of the Ramban and finds this difficult. But Yaakov will tell me it's very cute that someone's on the side of the Ramban finds it difficult, but you're supposed to answer it. Theoretically, we could say the Ramban argues on Rapapa, but I think that would be hard to say, like, who's the Ramban to argue on Rapapa without a Makor in Chazal, right? Yes? You're saying maybe the Ramban's only talking about Pshuta Shel Mikra, and therefore he's Potter from Ar Sugya. Ar Sugya is talking about Al-Pi Drash, and the Ramban's talking about Al-Pi Pshat, and never the twain shall meet, meaning the Ramban Lushitase, right? The Ramban is mamish a parkes man, right? He mamish holds that there's pshat. You know, I don't know how much remez he really has, but drash and sod certainly, and he holds the pshat doesn't have to be the same as the drash, doesn't have to be the same as the sod. Like, the Ramban, unlike a lot of people nowadays, who like argue whether pshat or sod is right, or whether pshat or drash is right, etc. Or they try to be miyashiv it. The Ramban's like, oh, there's different layers, different levels of revelation going on. This pshat and that's pshat, and it doesn't have to match the drash or the sod. There's drash, and it doesn't have to match the pshat or the sod. And the sod, again, nowadays, everyone argues, is this because of a sod reason or because of a philosophical, rational, more nebuchad reason? Right? And the Ramban, he all over Chumash, he's not goris that question. Like, everything is because of a more nebuchadic, philosophical, rational reason, and because of a Kabbalistic sod reason. And there's just different layers of reality. You don't have to be miyashi then, and you don't have to pick what's right and what's wrong. That's clearly Ramban's, not even his agenda, more basically his agenda, his assumption, his whole act, you know, his whole starting point of the Torah. Maybe for the Ramban, you could say he's discussing pshat, and Rav Papa's discussing drash. And maybe that's an answer. So, okay, what could you answer? So, you could answer, in which case the Ramban is not really necessarily arguing on everyone here, right? Maybe the Ramban doesn't belong here. Right? So maybe, I didn't think of that, but maybe Ramban is only Alpi Pshat, but is Moda Alpi Drash, and our Gemara is Alpi Drash, okay? Why does he think he can interpret Pshat that's not the Drash of Chazal in the Gemara? He does that all the time. The only difference between him and the Ibn Ezra is that the Ibn Ezra doesn't bother to mention the drash most of the time, and he doesn't always bothers to mention it. And you should know the Chachamim who have a different drash on their level because, you know, he never wants you to forget the drash. The Ibn Ezra, trust that you'll remember on your own. Okay, the Marshal gives perhaps a duffel answer. What does the Marshal give? He says, and here it's a duffel answer. I'd like a better answer. Although I'll live with it if I have to. 1 second, Svi. Says the Marshal, I apologize for not putting on the
Rabbi, cards. Why then does the Ramban order?
You faded in the middle. You muted yourself back after three words. Okay, you lost your internet connection, rather. Okay.
If you got your internet connection, try again. If not, I'll say the Marshal.
Why then does the Ramban quote our sugya?
Why did the Ramban quote our sugya at all? So the answer might be that we're going to Yaakov, that he wasn't talking Ali with the Chazal, he was talking Ali with the Pshat. Therefore, he doesn't have to quote our sugya. Or the other answer is he just didn't.
But no, he does quote our sugya.
What?
He does quote our sugya. Why does he say Mikan Amru Chachamim in Mukdam Mukhara Torah?
Why does he quote part of our sugya, not the other part of our sugya? Okay, yeah, you're right, that's a good point. Unless he says, no, he's quoting the part of the sugya that works according to Pshat, not the part that works according to Drash. But you're right, that does somewhat indicate that maybe you should have an answer. Says, this is not a real answer, right? Says the Marshal, he says, because Klalu Prat is used even against the Hochacha. What's the Hochacha? Klalu Prat, says the Marshal, I'll read it to you because you won't believe me. That who says all klalu prats are really because you would have had a kavachomer or a mahatzad otherwise. So if a stam klalu prat is coming against the kavachomer or a binyanav, then. Now here, he's changing the meaning of Hochacha, I understand. That's a proof that the Pesachim are out of order, because the Kalachomer would prove they're out of order. So therefore, Stam Kalaprat is going against the proof. Again, he's allowing a new kind of proof that's not a proof based on the storyline, but a proof based on a Kalachomer based on the rule of Kalaprat. But Bidoch, I admit it's a Dochic answer. I assume he also admits it's a Dochic answer. I wish I could think of a better answer, but says the Marshal, because most Klal uprat, etc., are against a kal vachomer, etc., which is called a proof of disorder. You know what I mean by disorder? I don't really mean disorder. I mean out of order. Which is called a proof of lack of order. Okay, that's a dog answer, he says. Since the Klal Prat is against the Kalvachomer, the Kalvachomer proved the Pesukim were out of order, yet we rely on them being in order. So that proves that that in Train Yane, when there's a proof, it's allowed to be out of order. Okay, it's a dog answer. I don't have a better answer, unless Yaakov's right. So he's been raising his hand for a while.
Yeah, I think just on the first answer, the Rabban's general shot is the shot in Jerash. Mm-hmm. That's within the idea that they're the same, so in the same order, and then we just have different layers in it. To say that this pasuk was said two parshiyos earlier for Pshat and then not for Drash, doesn't that undo the whole concept of Pardes, which is that they're the same thing, the same word, can mean four?
I guess you could assume whatever you want here. No, it could be that there's the same Torah, but it's in different orders for different things. I don't know. It's hard for me to tell. Like I don't know any concrete way to have an intuition as to the answer to your question. Like, no, maybe Pardes means the same book has different orders on different levels. Okay, let me get back to that in a moment. Okay. I understand. Let me get back to that in a moment. Okay, let me just ask one more question, which is also machlokos in Ramban and Rashi. There's two machlokos and chumash between Ramban and Rashi. What are the two machlokas in Chumash between Ramban and Rashi?
Right? Al HaTorah, Ramban, Rashi. Rashi says, Ein Mokdam, U'ma'ochar, without a proof. Ramban says it only with a proof. There's another difference in the Ramban and Rashi methodologically. What's the other difference in the Ramban and Rashi methodologically about Ein Mokdam, U'ma'ochar? Besides when they say it, how often they say it, what's the other difference? So Ramban points out, at least points out his side. Okay, I thought the Ramban pointed it out. Says the Ramban. Yeah.
Says Ramban in Korach, this is the main Ramban. Hialdaiti Kalatora Kasidus who lost Makam Shay first because of Dominic for less the proof. The Gan Sham, even when there's a proof, Sarif Inyan Lutam Nachon, you has to be a good reason why it's out of order. A, it's only out of order when there's a proof, and B, there has to be a reason it's out of order. You can't say it's out of order, stop. Even if you have a proof. You can't say, right, there are always two questions. How do I know and why? Right? Those are two different questions. How do I know and why? Right? How do I know you have to do B'dikas Chametz? Because it says in the first Mishnah. Why do I have to do B'dikas Chametz? Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Right? Right? How do I know that? How do I know that, you know, if you put Mentos in Coke, it'll explode? Because I tried it. Why? I don't know. I mean, you have to ask a scientist. You know, how do we know to say Malkum 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 Torah? Rashi says whenever we want. The Ramban says only when there's a proof. But why is the in Malkum Malkum Torah? Says Rashi never on Chumash bothers to tell us why the Torah is out of order. You know why the Torah is out of order for Rashi? What's the lashon of Rashi in our sugya? Lo hikpida. Lo hikpida. The Torah is not makpid. Right? Says there is no reason for going out of order. Use Rashi's lashon arsugya, lo hikpida arsugya, and that's why it's argued from silence. But Rashi, dozens of times in the Chumash, says this is out of order, and never explains why the Torah writes out of order. It's like, why did the Torah write out of order? Because why should the Torah write in order? The Torah is not chayiv to write in order. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. That depends on what your job is and what kind of book you're writing. That's not our problem. But the kind of book that the Torah is, and the kind of author that the Torah is, there's no reason it has to be in order in the first place. Well, the Ramban says, no, sometimes out of order, but there's always a good reason why it's out of order. There's always a logical reason it's out of order. After all, sometimes you actually do a better job if you say things out of order, right? I mean, if I'm writing a history book, I'm not always going to go in chronological order. Sometimes that doesn't make the most sense, right? The Sefer Melachim doesn't always go in chronological order. Why? Because, like, it doesn't make sense to say, here's the king of Yehuda, and this is what he did, and this year, this year, and this is what the king of Yisrael did, and this is what the king of Yehuda did. No, here's the king of Yehuda, and let's get to the end of him. Then we'll go to the next king of Yisrael, who might have started a little before the end of that king, and then go to him. Sometimes it's just easier to understand and more logical to go out of order. Not to be random, just to be logical. And that's what Ramban says, there's always a logical reason, and he backs that up. Not only in Korach does he say, God, Sorech Inyam Tam Nochom, he backs it up. Whenever he does admit, when there's a proof that Ein Mokdem Ocher Torah, he always gives a reason. Like, for example, our case, Bamidbar Aleph Bamidbar Tes, he says there's a good reason it's out of chronological order. What's the good reason? Because Bamidbar is all about being in the Midbar around the Mishkan. So first we have to finish the things about setting up the Mishkan, and then we have the other things. So, well, everything about setting up the Mishkan has to be first, and all those other things are about setting up the Mishkan. Okay, that's a logical literary reason. Or, for example, in Vayikra, in Parshat Tzav, Vayikra Perches, he talks about, he says, all the Parshas are for Sidron, except for the very last Pasuk in Parshat Shmos, which is Mokhrach, that is out of order. And even that, there's a reason why. L'sadrikal inyan comes up Mishkan, because we wanted to finish the inyan of erecting the building. And part of erecting the building has to be that the Shekhinah rests in it, because that's the final finishing of building the building, before we get to the other things, right? There's just a good literary reason. And likewise, the Ramban in Parshas Vayishlach says, why does it say Yitzhak died before Mechiras Yosef? Even though Yitzhak really died after Mechiras Yosef, says, Bashit, you have to finish one generation before you talk about the next generation. That's just logical. Meaning, it's much more logical to say Yitzhak died and then go on to Mechiras Yosef than to say Yosef was sold, and then Potiphar, and then Yehuda, and then whatever, and then in the middle of the Tzar Mashkin, Yitzhak died. Like, that's kind of logical order, but it's not a good literary logical order. Vichuli. Okay, so that's clearly another machlok between Rashi and the Ramban. The machlok, it seems to be, why Ein Mokdem Ocher B'Torah? What's the yesod of this? Right, basically, here's the two sides of the board. Right? The question is just, lama Ein Mokdem. Why is there no Mokdem Ocher B'Torah? So, what would Rashi say? Rashi would say, not for logical, not for any logical reason. Not for any logical reason. But why? So here you have two choices. Either say, just stam, because Hashem transcends time. Now, that's not such a fair question, because Hashem also transcends words, and yet the Torah has words, and Hashem transcends having a hand, and the Torah says he has a hand, meaning the Torah is talking b'lashon bnei Adam, but nonetheless, somehow, the holiness of the Torah is somehow expressed. It's a little tricky. You know, I'm not God, and I'm not Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm not like any level to even start to ask these philosophical questions, you know, much less to be in a position to answer them. But like, on the one hand, the Torah has to be earthly because it has to speak to us. And if Hashem just gave us, you know, this spiritual fire from heaven, I mean, you know, Eish Lomo, then it wouldn't do anything for us. On the other hand, the Torah has to be transcendent beyond our categories because it represents Hashem. It's a missive for Hashem. Okay, so how do you balance the transcendence of the Torah with the relevance of the Torah? Okay, I mean, that's a question of all religion, right? That's right. This is the most basic question of all religion we're not dealing with now, but that's basically what all philosophy of religion grapples with, right? If God has to be understandable enough that I'm able to worship him, but if he's too understandable, then he's not really worth worshiping, is he? That's the tension. So somehow, the way this tension is expressed in the Torah is that it talks to Hashem B'nai Adam, but it's out of order, because B'nai Adam have to live in order and time, and Hashem transcends time. So maybe you could say, you know, so why? Maybe because Hashem transcends time, although obviously it's that, or like Rabbeinu Yechiel. What does Rabbeinu Yechiel say in the Tosfos B'nai Peretz?
Confuse you.
That it's to confuse you. It's confusing. Good, it's confusing. You'll ask Rashi, Rabbi Rashi, why do you switching all the stuff around? Ma pidom, you're just making this into a confusing book. Maybe Rashi will say, you're going to attack them before you're supposed to write a parrot some sachet. Quoting Rabbeinu Yechiel, some Rabbeinu Yechiel and Paris. The Torah is supposed to be confusing. Why? Because if the Torah is written in order, then you could just read the Torah and you could be Mechaya Mesim, etc. I mean, if the Torah is written in order, it would be too powerful for us. Therefore, it has to hide its true nature, right? Just like Hashem's revelation. What is there always when Hashem reveals himself? Right? And you have to make one artificially on Yom Kippur if the Kohen Gadol wants Hashem to reveal himself?
Fire or Anan? A cloud?
A cloud. Why is Hashem, there always have to be a cloud when Hashem reveals himself? Because you can't see Hashem. Then you just, couldn't be too much. You just die. You just be an angel, whatever would happen. Right? That's why Kohen Gadol has to have an Anan. An Anan, because Hashem's not to be Yorid Anan. He has to do it. He has to prepare the groundwork. Okay, so if we had the real Torah, we wouldn't die. We would just all be angels and we'd be able to be a Chayim Esim, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so maybe more like we need to be able to hide the real Torah. Now, just to be fair, the Akedas Yitzchak starts with Rabbeinu Yechiel and still says there's a logical reason. But if you just took Rabbeinu Yechiel, but what's the other option? The other option is what the Shlah says. Notice the Shlah and the Akedah. Says the Shlah, he says the opposite, actually. He says, no, the Torah wasn't put out of order to guard the mystical secrets and to take away the mystical shemos. Adra was put out of order to put in the mystical shemos. In chronological order, it wouldn't have had the mystical shemos. So it was put in order the mystical shemos. Okay, that doesn't help us terribly much. But then he says, there's Nistar and there's Nigla. I'll be Nistar, it's to put in shemos. And I'll be Nigla, says Ashlan, he's very strong here. Yesh tam and vinyanik v'yasev shemos udarim, v'lo davar reku, famous drash of Chazal, v'im reku mikem. If there's no reason, the chisarin's in you. That's Chazal's word. Lo davar reku mikem. Right, with the deduction, lo davar reku, reku mikem. It's not really a davar reku. If it's reku, it's your fault. Right? I mean, if we don't know why the Torah is in order, it's not a chronological order. But if we don't know why the Torah is in order, then the chisorin's in us. That's a very clear shlah, and the Ramban, of course. Right? Because it's in a logical literary order. and adds the shla. The emreku, if you can't figure out why it's out of order, mikem, then it's your own fault. Right? Now, when it's in chronological order, I don't think we have to figure out. Like this, why did Avram's birth come before Yitzhak's birth, come before Yaakov's birth, come before the Shvatim's birth? That's chronological order. But whenever something's out of order, why did Bamidbar Aleph come before Bamidbar Tes? We have to figure out something we can learn from that on some level. And if not, the concern's in us that we didn't fulfill our mitzvah of the Torah. So clearly, there's not a chronological order, but there is a logical order. It's not in chronological order, but it is in logical order. That's clearly the Ramban, and that's what the Shlach says. And that's also what the Akedah says. The Akedah even takes a Rini Achil and makes him say that. I mean, not the person Rini Achil, but that Medrash. He says, yeah, it's not written in this secret order where you can be Chayim Mesim. Rather, it's written in a logical order so that human beings could learn something from it. Right? Lo Nishmu Seder Me'ma Oros. Avo Sidra Me'ishma Me'ofa Shenil Mo Mishmu Shlasam Dvarim Nichbadim Mimosar V'derech Eretz. Oben Yonei Adinim, it's put in order that we could learn Musar or Derech Eretz or Halachos or something logical for us to learn. That's the fundamental Hakira. Is it in random order or is it just not in chronological order but not logical, right? Not chronological, good phrase, but logical. And as we said, sometimes the logical order is Dafka, not the chronological order. What would be a nafgamina between this? Nafgamina between this is the machlokis between the Ravan and the Shla about the Dracha of, about the, and the Akedas Yitzchak about the Drushas of Smuchin, right? One nafgamina is what we already says, right? What are the nafgaminas? So number one, do you have to give an order, right? Says Rashi. Rashi felt no need to explain, as opposed to the Ramban, who always explains the order. Right? That's obvious. That's not really enough gemina. Right? That's just restating the Chakira. Right? It could be also the Ramban and the Rashi. This could be. You're not sure. Are the Shitasa here? It's not coincidence they have too much locus. Maybe. This is just, just the Hakira. This is maybe, but in parentheses, maybe the two machlokas Rashi and Ramban or the Shitase. After all, if it's in random order, then you shouldn't really need a proof to say that it's out of order, right? Because, there's no expectation of order. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to put in parentheses, but maybe, says Rashi, that there's no default expectation of chronological order. After all, if it's random, then even if you have no proof, all else being equal, why should you assume it's in chronological order? It's random. For the Ramban, here it's not more. You could say, no, it's always in logical order, and you should never expect to be in chronological order. But it's nicha that you could say, this is the Ramban l'shitase in the other machlokes, that, after all, what's the logical order of something? You know what? The logical order of something is usually the chronological order. Right? So it's not mochrach, this is a maybe, but no, it's in chronological. That's why I'm putting it as a maybe, connecting these two different machlokes, until proven otherwise, because you know what? A logical order is usually the chronological order, except for, rare cases. Except for rare cases. Now, what another nafkamina might be drasha smuchin. What does the Ravan say? The Ravan says, you know why Rabbi Yehuda doesn't darshan smuchin? Because ain't mokta morcha b'torah, so have you darshan smuchin? It's not really in order. Right? Have you darshan? And why does he darshan in Devarim? Because Devarim is in order, because that's only human. He says, divine things are out of order, but Devarim is human. Okay, I'm not getting into the whole lumbus here of how human, how divine Devarim is. We know that's an issue. But clearly it's more human than the other four Svarim. At least I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. The Devarim is human, that's on our level of time, so you get darshan smuchin, it's important. Ein mokim mokim b'torah is only in the first four books, that's what he assumes. Ein mokim mokim b'torah is only in the first four books, so this would work for the Ravan. Ein darshan smuchin lefi she'ein that's what he says. Now, you could have said, why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda darshan smuchin? Stam, he doesn't hold from darshan smuchin. You could, but I mean, there's a million reasons of a fortune why Rabbi Yehuda doesn't darshan smuchin, which needn't concern us now. But he says, say no, no more. However, give me a second. What does the Akedah say? The Akedah says, if it's out of order, how can you darshan smuchin? He says, no, Adrabba. If it's out of order, you should darshan smuchin even more. Why? Because if it's in chronological order, then maybe it just happened that way. But if it's in a logical order and not the chronological order, then Avada, there's a reason something connects to each other. He says, Adrabba, says the Akedah. Adrabba, he starts out with the Hakim the Rabban. He says, how can you darshan smuchin is out of order? He says, no, Adrabba, how can you not darshan smuchin? He says, no, Adrabba. Yesh Lidrosh smuchin Davka. Okay, I don't know if he says Davka or just Kol Shekein. Derech HaEmes, he says that Sido Sido Nachon, and therefore we darshan smuchin Davka. Or let me say better. I don't know. Davka Kol Shekein Adraba Kol Shekein Sheyesh Lidrosh smuchin. Because then they were put in a logical order to teach us something. So of course you should darshan smuchin. So this clearly the machlok is it a random order or is it just a logical instead of chronological order? I'll end with Yaakov Sarah, right? The last thing we'll point out is Yaakov Sarah. Yaakov points out that it's very nice that I found a machlok in smuchin, but when it comes to klal uprat, Rav Papa's mafurish that you cannot darshan klal uprat of ein moktam. That works well for the Ravan, right? So how about Drushas Klal Uprat? So this, right, our sugya is very nicha. Ein Lidrosh Klal Uprat im Ein Motam Ocher, because the order is sort of random. But Yaakov asks, if you take the side of the Akedah, and it's not me, it's the Akedah, he says, it's in a logical order, so of course you darshan. Then why can't you darshan klal uprat even if ein moktam orcha b'Torah? It's not in chronological order, but it's in logical order, so we should darshan klal uprat. Right? That was your question, was it not? So, Rabbi Chanan is bothered by this here. Sorry. Okay, there are two things I forgot to put in the course. You'll forgive me someday. Rabbi Chanan is bothered by this in the Kovach Shiurim here. I don't have a copy here, but I'll say, tell you the gist of his answer. Says Rabbi Chanan, and you could say it's a little dachuk. Says Rabbi Chanan, the Kovach Shiurim, he says, you know what, there has to be a different, he doesn't say smuchin, he doesn't bring in smuchin, he's not dealing with Rabban, he's not dealing with the Kedis, Yitzhak, etc. He says, there's a different thing, smuchin and Talu Prat. Smuchin is a drusha, which was given to us in the Midos HaTalu Drush Abraham to apply to the text of the Torah. Talu Prat is a Midos that was given to us, not klapei the text of the Torah, but klapei the revelation to Moshe. Smuchin, and he doesn't do the contrast. I'm adding it. Smuchin was a midah. You darshan the Torah text with smuchin. Klal uprat was not given about the Torah text. It was given about the revelation of Baal Peh to Moshe, which was later written in the Torah. Right? Meaning all the Torah was Baal Peh until he wrote it. Okay, when he wrote it, it's not supposed to be real Lakish, but clearly first he heard about Baal Peh, then he wrote it. And according to one day, he didn't write the Torah at all until the end of the 40 years. So it was all Torah Baal Peh until then. So, what does Rav Chanan say? Maybe you'll say it's Medochad, but that's the Akedah I think he's going to have to say. It's not me. If it was me, I would say, I don't want to be this guy. But it's the Akedah and the Kodesh Yerim. He says you have to make a Chiddush. He makes a Chiddush. His Chiddush is that Midas Klal Uprat V'chule, right? Prat to Klal, etc. is on the oral revelation to Moshe, not the written text of the Torah. Other drashos were given to be darshan on the text of the Torah. Klal uprat was given to be darshan on the revelation to Moshe. Why? That's why Midrash we don't know why for all the Midrash and Torah and Drash Bahen. Maybe Kal v'chomer we know why it's logical. The rest of them we don't necessarily know why. Right? That's what he says, Bedocha. I know it's Bedocha. Okay, but that's what he says. Say if the Torah is in logical order, so why not darshan klal uprat in the logical order? The answer is because klal uprat was not given about the Torah Shemichsav; it was given about the original oral revelation to Moshe, and therefore we can only darshan klal uprat if we know the order was originally orally revealed to Moshe. If we know the chronology. And since we don't know the chronological order of Trin Yana, we can't touch in Klal Prat. Okay, so he answers your question.
Explains to us first.
Maybe you like his answer, maybe you don't, but clearly he asked your question and answered it. Okay, 1 second. Yitz and then Shimon. And sweet. I think he's assuming that even Rabbi Huda would darshan smuchim b'chadayane. That's not called smuchim. That's called hekesh. You know, within one pasuk or whatever, that's called hekesh. Smuchim is two different paragraphs, and that's trein yane. So that wouldn't bother him. Tzvi, did you want to ask something?
Yeah, I think it was a question earlier on the also, but is this saying that and according to this Rabbi Huda, it goes down? Moshe sort of made the decision to put it out of order. It's like Hashem gave it to Moshe in a certain way.
No, I think Hashem told him what order to write it afterwards. Hashem told Moshe, I'm telling you A, now I'm telling you B, now I'm telling you C, now I'm telling you D, now I'm telling you E. Then after 40 years, Hashem told Moshe it's time to write the Torah or to compile the Torah. Right, whether he wrote them down in separate scrolls, and then Hashem told him to put the scrolls together at the end of 40 years, or he memorized it, Hashem told him to write it for 40 years. But either way, Hashem says, now it's time to write it. Now, after 40 years, you're, you know, in Arvos Moab, now write it down, or glue the paragraphs together. And when you write it down, go D, C, E, B, G, A, F, A. That's all from Hashem. We're not saying Moshe made anything up.
Not fully, isn't this exact don't we generally say the first four books of Moshe, they were like basically a puppet for Hashem?
He was a puppet. He was a puppet that he memorized exactly the words Hashem told him, and then 40 years later, he wrote them down in the order Hashem told him. It just wasn't the same order. Shmuel.
What the Kobet Shurim says could strengthen Tosfot, who says that the Seder Dibrot are like one in yon. Chronologically, it was the same.
They're like one in yon because they were said at the same time. Good point. Okay. Okay, now we're ready to go on in the Gemara. Let me just get the board. And then we're ready to move on. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav. Abodet Tzarech She Yevatel. Right? After you do Bedika, you have to do Bittel. The assumption here is that he means not just someone who does Bedika has to do Bittel, but it's clear from the Shaka Matari, he means someone who does Bedika has to do Bittel at the time he does bedika. I mean, bedika is orlar basar. When you finish your bedika orlar basar, you have to do bittel at that night of orlar basar. That's clear, because the Gemara is going to ask why it has to be at night and not in the morning. Okay, so it means not just sarshivagul, the shas bedika. Okay, my time, imishum peirurin halochashivi. What's the reason? If it's because of peirurin, what do you mean? Peirurin aren't chashim anyway. They're batalei elav. Peirurin are afra tahara, naturally. You don't make them afra tahara. And if you say, no, since you guard them, agav your house, your machshav them, meaning clearly, let's say I was a weirdo. Right? We all know people like this. Right? They're a piruin, but I'm machbid, I want the piruin. I'm very machbid on the piruin. So now they're a chashav. Now, of course, they're not bantal now. Of course, it is bali rabbi you say. So hold on a second. The piruin in my house, I locked my house and I guarded, I put an alarm system and iron bars, etc. Now, of course, I do that for my gold and silver. But maybe you'll say that since I also locked the door of my house and guard the piruin, I got my house, that shows a machshav them. I mean, it's not such an attractive story anyway, but in case you would think that, by the time we have a price that says, no, if I only guard something accidentally as a like segregation lo nichalei, because I want to guard something else, that doesn't mean that I'm machshavet. Matanya sofei te'in b'shamish adim ve'andavim. I have the end te'inim of the season, which are no good and I don't want. But I guard my field because I'm growing andavim, because the andavim are growing, or sofei andavim. But I guard my shear of the thing it shows, so it's named it blows, because of the vegetables, the gourds. Bismach balbais makbet aleim asur v'shem gezel. If the balbais is makbet on the sofei te'inim or the sofei andavim, then it's asur to steal them, chayv b'meiser. Then they're considered owned. It's asur to steal them, they're chayv b'meiser. But even though I lock, I'm not going to let you in to take the sofei te'inim because I don't want you stealing my enough, right? And yeah, I've heard that one before. I'm just coming to take sofei te'inim, right? So I'm going to guard my sofei te'inim with my life, but I'm not really than the Sophie Tain. I'm just guarding the Anan. Theoretically, if I could get rid of the Sophie Tain, I'd be happy to. Then, even though I'm guarding them accidentally as a psych ratio of something else, still, still, people are allowed to steal it, meaning Luyatsur, they have the opportunity, they can take it, and they're Potter for Meiser. Let's assume because Hefker is Potter for Meiser. So what do we see? We see that even though I guard something accidentally as a side effect of guarding something else, it's not considered to be chashuv. I still don't want it. So here also, even though I guard my house, I still don't want the big ruin. So why do we need a bodhi sarshi batel? So I'm a rabbi, xerashim yim tzibuska yafra v'daitil avay. Ah, not because of big ruins. I might find that you usually won't, right? But I usually won't find a gluska yafra because it just didn't because of it. But you might find a gluska yafra and daitil avay, your mind is on it. What's the problem? Even if you find it, just do bittel. Maybe you'll find it after the Isser starts, meaning in the afternoon of Erev Pesach, when it's already Osher Midoraisa B'Hadah, and it's not in Rishus anymore, and you have no power to be in Mavatel. It's Amar Rilavashin, Tvarmi, Rishus, Shaladim, Asana, because people Shizim, two things are not in Rishus of someone, and the Torah makes it as if they're in his Rishus, Ve'elu Heim, or Rishus Arab, and Mechamim, Rishus, Shos, Ule, Mala, right? Rav Elazar points out, there's a tension here. On the one hand, you're chayav for only chametz on Pesach. On the other hand, you don't own chametz on Pesach because it's aser anan and you have no power over it. But nonetheless, the Torah made it ki'ilu. And what's the good precedent for that? Bor b'shus harabim. Interestingly, I think Yaakov might point this out to me. I saw in somebody in Chronim. There's a sheet of Rabbi Yossi Aglili later on in the Mishnah, the second parak, who says chametz on Pesach is moter b'hanah. And his lashon is tama heya chametz aser anan kol shiva. Said tama, how can you say chametz aser anan? So the Gemara explains what Pasuk Darshan is when coming to Motor Bahana. But why does he say it's a Tema? So some of the Achronim point out, no. His Tema is because of this strange oddity of Rabbi Elazar that he doesn't hold from. He says, Tema, how can you be also Bahana? And also, no, you don't own it. And if you don't own it, how can there be Bali Rabbi Matzeh? So his conclusion is, there can only be an Isser Bali Rabbi Matzeh something you own, so it must be Motor Bahana. That's what Yosef believes. None of the other Tanakh agree with him. All the other Tanakh say, Taki, you have a good point. It's a Tema. How can it be Asr Bahana? And yet it's considered shalcha, and you buy the Bar Yerubayim Matzeh. The isn't the tema is tak, it's a chiddush that this tema works out somehow, and it's a son of Kasim Kilu Bershu. So sometimes the answer to the tema is you're right, it's strange, and the Torah says it's true anyway. Okay, but in any case, the point is that it's not Bershu, so, and therefore you can't be Mvatalit. A son of Kasim Kilu, Bershu, so. The Eloi, okay. The Nifli, Ba'arb Nifli, Chamish. Why do you have to do it at night? Why do you do it in the fourth or fifth hour? Came into Lav's money, Surah Lav's money, you're a double Pasha, a little to lay. No, because the fourth or fifth hour is not a good time to make a takana, because since it's not the time when it becomes usher, it's not the time you burn it, you're not doing anything else. So you won't remember to do bittul. Bittul is so small, you won't remember to do it if it's not attached to something else. And therefore, it has to be done at the time of Bidika, because as part of the Bidika, you'll remember to do bittul. Okay, the more is on, Beniftalay bit. Shis, why not be a mat in the sixth hour when it becomes usher, you are burning, you burn it? The burning will remind you to do bittul. No, because it's Asra Nami Drabbanan, and Isra Nami Drabbanan is as strong as Isra Nami Drabbanan, so it's now not Pershus Shal Adam Drabbanan, but that's still not Pershus Shal Adam, and you can't be in battle. Okay, that's why you have to do Bittel at night. Agav, the Rush here quotes, he quotes this strange Chubas Rashi that some people say to do Bittel in the morning, and which is totally against our Gemara. And he goes to Chuvas Rashi, and some people did it. If you look at the Chuvas Rashi, it's not Rashi himself. Rashi himself says, and that's wrong. But apparently there's some people who did bittul in the morning. It's not exactly clear historically who these people were and what they did and what they meant by it. But nonetheless, what does the Rashi himself say? And a few Rishonim, they say, you know what? Our minhag nowadays is different than time in the Gemara. Chas v'shalom, we don't take away from what's in the Gemara. We still do bittul at night. But we do bittul twice, once at night and once in the morning in the fifth hour. Not in the sixth hour, then it's right on the fifth hour. That's our meaning nowadays. Of course, we all know, if you look in that Agada, we do bittul once at night and once in the morning in the fifth hour. Why did we change our minhag? What else did we change in order to, we changed something else in order to establish that minhag. What else did we change in order to establish that minhag? So the nusach of bittul, perhaps, like the first time, we have two divisions. So we say whatever I didn't find. The second, I say even what I found. But in the Mishnah later on in our parak, when did they use to burn chametz in the time of the Gemara? In the sixth hour, they burned chametz. bird cummings nowadays? In the fifth hour or earlier, right? Why did we change when we burn chametz? We changed when we burned chametz because we made a minhag of saying bittul, and yet we know you'll only remember to say bittul when you do an action. So, right, Chazal said, you only remember to do bittul when you do an action. The action is in the sixth hour, and then it's too late to bittul, so push bittul to the night before. We came up with a alpi minhag, another solution to the problem. Ah, just move the action. Instead of burning the sixth hour, burn in the fifth hour. So we changed the, I mean, not a violation of anything. There's always a lot of burn earlier, right? We changed the minhag from burning the sixth hour to burning the fifth hour so that we could do bittul while we burnt, while it still belonged to us. That's what the Rush says our minhag is to do a double bittul, and he implies there, some of the Rishon point out, and therefore we burn earlier than he did in time of the Gemara. Why do we do a second bittul after all we did a bittul at night? Says, because we set aside some food for breakfast, or we might buy food for breakfast, and that wasn't in the bittul. Set aside for breakfast. And therefore, what if we accidentally forgot it? We should do another bittul. Okay, why weren't Chazal worried about that? So we have to say one of these technical answers that the Rabbi Peretz on the Smach just says, his Lashon is, give me a second to find the Lashon. The Lishahayu's reason, Zahirinu's reason, Rashim Shayunach, Rabdigabal Anush, Einanu Zahirin Kolkach. Okay, it's read as Adoros, the Torah, the Gemara, there are various Zahirinu's reason, and they would be Mavata, whatever they didn't find, and whatever they left over for breakfast, they would keep track of and either eat or burn. Right? They weren't foolish and negligent. Nowadays, you read as Adoros, we're not so Zahirinu's reason, we're afraid you might forget some of your breakfast food. Because we're not on the same level of Zahiras, and therefore we made the minhag of a second bittul, and to have the minhag of a second bittul, that's why you'll see the Mishnah is going to say you burned b'tchilas sheish. You'll say, but since I was a little baby, we always burned the shah chamishis. The answer is because we want to say a second bittul. Okay, that's a later post-Talmudic minhag. Let's just try to get pshat in the Gemara here. First thing I want to do is get pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara, which two words in the Gemara seem to be unnecessary? In terms of, we know, let's review. Why do we do bittul at night? Because you might find chametz during Pesach. And you might find chametz during Pesach. Okay, first of all, let me just point out a mucker that I forgot when we discussed this earlier in the year. Our Gemara was a big proof against the Tor and the Shmuel Alekhet. Remember the Machlokas. Everyone else in the world said, for one reason or another, if you miss something in Bedikah, it's not an Isser. The Shmuel Alekhet and the Torah said, even though some people tried to deny the Torah, the Pasha of the Torah, Shmuel Alekhet and the Torah said, no, if you miss something in Bedikah, it's an Avera. Avera B'Shogeg. It's still an Isser Daraisa. Isser Daraisa B'Shogeg is still serious. So everyone has the Kasha from our Gemara. So what does our Gemara say? You might find a Gluska Yafe. What does the Gemara say? Just be Mevatel when you find it. No, it's too late to be Mevatel it. But what does that imply? If you could be Mevatel when you find it, when you found it, it would be okay. Meaning, there's no Isser until you find it and then are negligent again. So that shows that until you find it, there's no Isser. That was the proof against the Tor and the Shmuel Alekhet. If you look in the Rush here, it's actually, the Tor didn't make this up. He got it from his Abba, from the Rush. The Rush in our Sugya says, like the Tor and Shmuel Alekhet, that's a bigger, these are all very big names. Who am I to judge? The Rush might be even more famous than the Tor and Shmuel Alekhet. The Rush says, no, if you miss on your bedikah, it's an Avir B'Shogeg. What did our Gemara mean when it says Mevatel when you find it? So here he's Nidchak a little. He gives a different answer than all the answers we gave last time. Right? So you have to add this to your notes. A, add the Rush to the Shita. The Rush says that it is an Avir if you miss something, even before you find it. So why did the Gemara end? When it says lest you find a Gluska Yafa, it means lest there be a Gluska Yafa. Finding is La Dafna. So why did the Gemara say, just be Mevatel when you find it, it's no problem? No. The Gemara's half meaning was that you'd find it in the morning of your Dalit. If you find it in the morning of your Dalit, there's no problem, because there's no Isser yet. Menastam, you'll find it in the morning. Then the Gemara answers, no, maybe you won't find it until the afternoon, and then it's too late to be Mevatel it. And either way, you did an Avira. He has to add something to the Gemara, a little bit Dalit, but it's important to point that out. I thought that's how the Rush sounded. I know, but I don't think it's that. But I think the Rush does it, not the Korban Asano. Meaning, I think it's not. You're right. It's very dull. what does he say here? Let's see. Zereshem yid daig kolon chashimishem after ha'isav muski yifayv shidaig to lavei v'lo batlam v'meilu akach tzark levatel. Chi mashkach liflei v'lo matzrich levatel shas v'niga. Dil mamash levas rishuv lo atzir levatel levas shuz ha'kaima, etc. etc.
And also, why does Mara command us on a class of people with two stuff? That's the
You think the carbon of saddle is making this up? And you think it's only in the beginning? I see what you're saying, because that's carbon of saddle's answer. Okay. But he clearly has it in the beginning, right? Maybe there are people in, and you'll be violated by Rabbi Yamatzi. Yeah, so, where did the rush change his mind from that? Oh, clever. Okay. Fair enough. Okay. I didn't see that. Bach. Okay. Machlok is Bach and Carbon Asano. Great. Miss Ader. Okay. Let's leave that for now. That's a good hara. That's a good hara. Okay. Machlok is Bach and Carbon Asano. Let's just, let's be. If you don't mind talking my back, you can talk.
Yeah, there's an easier for this stuff, which is a Meiri. The Meiri answers for Rashi in this whole case. He doesn't say that he missed it. I think the Rivaldel says, it's a case where they took it out of the Chorus exactly. You know, that replaces that you didn't have to check.
Okay.
So that answers the question, meaning that answers the issue that our case is not a riot against. That meaning our case is not a riot against the Torah because this whole sugya is only talking about a case where you weren't trying to check in the first place. I.e., if it was a place where you weren't trying to check, maybe you have a problem.
That you could say, I'm not sure that answers the question. If the Meiri
says this could only be talking about.
Right, because he doesn't think it's logical you'd miss something. Because he doesn't think it's logical you'd miss something. Right.
Right, so that's your arrival to the Torah. Meaning that Meiri is arriving to the Torah. The fact that this could only be.
But if I see what you're saying. You could say this is only if I didn't miss something. If I miss something, that's worse. Okay, that's a good har. That's a good har. Another way to answer the Torah. How can you say if you miss something, it's an Avera automatically? Ardmore says only find it later. Now, Ardmore is if you didn't miss it, and the Torah is if you missed it. Oh, yeah, that's a good Avera. Anyway, okay, fine. So you're right. We have a bit of a machlokus here. And then, how about the part of Bechi Mashkachas La Liv Talei for the Bach that is Nicha, right? And for the mush, then the carbon asano has to be a little nidchak. Whatever you're going to say is going to be a little bedochak. Says that that the havamina sheyin sa'enu lifnei shashishis. And they could have answered, you'll just find it after shashishis and it's too late. Or after Shei shows, at least it's too late, the Raisa. And instead, they give a double answer. That's the double part. Okay. Shkoyach. Thank you, Yaakov. Okay. Now, I just want to get shot in the sugya. Which two words in the sugya seem to be unnecessary? Daiti Lavei. What does it mean, Daiti Lavei? Just say, maybe you'll find it will stay off it. What does Daiti Lavei mean? Okay. Here, I don't have any chakiras. Just trying to figure out what Daiti Lavei means. It's just strange words. It seems to be unnecessary. Why do you need Daita Ilavei? And what does it mean, Daita Ilavei? So here we have a many side machloks we've shown about Daita Ilavei. We'll start not with the most mainstream shot, but with the most peculiar shot, which is the Sefer Michtam, which is also quoted as the Ish Omer in the Meiri. What does the Sefer Michtam think Daita Ilavei means? By the way, there's two gersos, Vidaita or Didaita. And different yourselves work better for different shatim, although they all point out you can get old shatim work for yourselves. What does the michta mean? Which is also a yesh omer in the Meiri. Daiti ilavei is v'yochlenu.
Ken.
I eat in daiti ilavei v'yochlenu. Daiti ilavei means you'll think to eat it.
Why did we previously see the Sefer Mechtam? The obvious question on the Sefer Mechtam is, if the Daitil Beni is Zerush and Yavu L'Achlo, how does Bittul help? Sorry, Shiva Lenu, because otherwise you might eat it. How does Bittul help? And here's where he brought the crazy Shita and the just peculiar Shita, right? In which case, how does Bittul help? After all, if you're going to eat it, what difference does it make you with Bittul? So he quotes the Yeshomer that once you mevatel it, it's now not food anymore, and it's go'ochel afer or putter, right? That's the radical chetza idea of Bittul, right? So Yeshomer nase afer putter alachilaso. And the Miftam himself says no, ma'isel love. Right, this weird Yeshomer says, once your bittul turns to dirt, dirt is much easier to eat on Pesach. Okay, and the stomach darbonet is us or something, but at least there's no Esther Darais, there's no Chiv Karis, etc. And he says, that's too crazy. That's too radical. Even if you're saying something in the Chefta, that's too radical. At the very least, that's from Ram Kalaba. It should be an Achshave and a reversal. He says, no, because once you declare that it's dirt in your mind, now it's most to you. And even when you find it on Pesach, you'll remember, you'll feel most, you'll still not remember, you'll feel most about it, and therefore you won't come to eat it. It's psychological, not halachic. Okay, so that's two answers. Either it has a halachic effect or a psychological effect.
Or a halachic psychological effect. Very halachic man ask. I'm disgusted by it. It's like, you're not actually disgusted by it. Like, there's nothing to
change. No, sure I am. You don't feel a halachic man. You just have to be sincere. But I said, Bittul, I was sincere. I really thought that I don't want any chametz, and I don't care about it, and I don't like it at all. Okay, maybe call that halachic. Okay, anyway, that is the most radical, very, very strange shot. Okay, then the Mechtam is another shot, which is sort of similar to the other Rishonim. But let's get to Rashi. What does
Rabbi, Rashi? Rabbi, why is it so? Why is it going to be like Rav Acha or Rav Yaakov? I mean, the chametz shel nochri is mutar b'achila, so chametz shel hefker is mutar b'achila.
That's fascinating. But the simple answer is because Rav Acha Rav Yaakov chazer bo mei hahi, because Rav Acha Rav Yaakov shidat yachidu said, and he was chazer bo, so no one really holds that in the end.
But maybe that's what the Havah Mina.
He's got a shita that no one really holds.
Maybe the Havah Mina.
Okay, but still, it's better not to explain based on a sheet that no one holds. That's only
happening.
Okay, what does Rashi say Daitil Avei means? What does Rashi say?
Chasal,
that you'll eat it, but that you'll want it, right? Chasu v'chasalav l'sorfa, chasaleha l'sorfa, chasaleha l'sorfa. Okay, that's the meaning. If you're going to ask which girsa goes better, the myth would be vidaite, and then is dasanatita. And Rashi would say vidaite. Again, you could always say that any girsa could work for any shita, as some of the Rishonim point out, because you could just not be dying so much. But which girsa works properly for that shita? Vidaite. Right? So, the Rashi says, you're going to like it. You're going to want to keep it. And therefore, you will wait a minute and not burn it. And in that minute, you'll violate Bal Yeimotze. That is
Rashi. That's why it fits that's why Rashi fits better with assuming that it's B'tocha Pesach.
Correct.
Vidate, then, at that
correct
point,
yes,
you'll think
exactly
about it.
Exactly, precisely. That's Vidate, B'shashamotzo, Tocha Pesach. Now,
right.
Orban at first says maybe Rashi thinks you only violate by your Yimotze if you actively put your das on it, but that's not Pashup Shad Rashi. The Isser thinks you actively put your das on it. The act of putting das is just the hechitensi of not burning it right away. Clearly, the Ramban sort of accuses Rashi of too much. Right? The Avera is not that you need to put your das on it to violate the Avera. Just you need to be Meshahed to violate the Avera. Right? So the Pshan and Rashi is that this is the Avera. And this is just because of the Avera. The Avera is being Meshaya. It's not the Avera is putting your mind on it. The Avera is being Meshaya. And why are you Meshaya? You're Meshach, you're Chasal Basorfo. Again, there are many Jews, Rashi. Are you saying you need to actively put your mind on it to buy the Rabbi? I'm not saying no, Rashi's not saying that. You just need to not burn it, violated by Rabbi Matzah. But why would the guy not burn it? After all, he's a frum yid. Even a not-so-frum yid would burn chametz on Pesach. Because he puts his mind that he wants it, and that's why he doesn't burn it. Now, what's the kashas everyone asks on Rashi? The kashas everyone asks on Rashi are like the Ramban and Rabbi David, etc. What's the main kasha they ask on Rashi? How, if the chashash is that we're afraid that you'll want to keep it, what's the kasha they ask? Then how does the fact you did bittul 3 days ago help? Once you want to keep it, you've reversed your bittul. You've been, if it's hefker, you've been chosen for zochav, right? The Ramban proves that even though you can't be zochav, be surah hanah. It's a song, so you can't be zochet to be over on it, right? And if that you weren't machshavit and you made it something meaningless, now you made it something meaningful. So the kasha of, right, question of the Ramban, etc. It says, if you wrote it the kiyumo, right? That's not Rashi's lashon, right? If you want it, how does the earlier bittul help? Right, that's the kashan Rashi. Right, just like I understand, it's not a crazy shash. The daikil way you might find something and then want to eat it, want to keep it. Maybe you don't want to eat it now; you just want to keep it till after Pesach. Whatever. You're like, oh, this is a really nice one, right? This is like, this is a really good one. You might find for Rashi, gluska yafet means mamish yafet l'chora. Right, doesn't mean gluska yafet like something that is not worthless. Not gluski yafa means something that is not garbage. Gluski yafa means no, this is really gluski yafa. You know, I this is like, you know, I don't know.
Attractive.
Ring ding, they stopped manufacturing ring dings and this is the last ring ding. Or they kept manufacturing ring dings, but this is the ring ding that I love. Or et cetera, et cetera. These are my favorite cookies, right? So you might say, oh, I want to keep this. And then you won't burn it for a minute. Because if you burn it right away, then it's not your fault. You did the best you could. But you might, assuming not like your government decided. But doesn't that undo your bittul? Now you want it. So what is the, how would you answer?
The main question is not that
the okay, two questions. A, if you want it, how does your earlier bittul help?
This might be
and B, and he has both of them. And if he wants it, let's say two. Why would he do bittul now? And how would it help? Right, okay. Well, basically, you're right. To be sure, make a combination of all this. It's all the same question. Meaning, wanting is a steward of bittul. How does bittul yesterday save you if you want it now? And how does the word suggest doing bittul now to save you if you want it now? Why would you even do bittul now if you want it now? Right? That's all the questions. So how do you answer the questions on Rashi? So the Meiri answered the question of Rashi, and I don't think you need to go so far. The Meiri, in the end, he does agree with Rashi. In the end, he agrees with Tosos. But when this paragraph is, when he's dealing with Rashi, he says, we're not doing it if Rashi wants to eat it, he just wants to keep it till later. And we're not even dealing with someone who wants to keep it till later. What does he say? He says, no se love la shosma at ashis yashiv daito ale la chriach tivo mitzada mitzvah. The guy is struggling inside, right? What's the guy doing? He wants to be a firm person and get rid of it. But it's hard for him. So he takes a minute purposely to conquer his Yetzer Hara and burn it. Okay, says the Meiri. Ein chashash sheyachos alav mamish labir shi yaskinan ela yishtahe kedei lichbosh Yetzro. Right? Actually, it's Yashiv died. Lachriach Tivo. That's Lichbosh Yitzro. Meaning, he wants to do the right thing. He doesn't want it. He just needs a second to conquer his Yetzer Hara. Okay, and even if he needs a second to conquer his Yetzer Hara, but he shouldn't have had the Yetzer Hara in the first place. So he bought it by Rav Matzah by taking a minute to conquer his Yetzer Hara. But he really doesn't want the chametz. He just needs to conquer his Yetzer Hara. I personally think that. Yeah, but it also answers this question.
He doesn't even ask the question yet.
No, he asked one of the questions. How can you tell him to be a vatel? He said, hey, he says, how can you tell him to be a vatel? And after all, he wants to keep it. Right? He does. He is answering one of these questions. How can you tell me Vatlet? After all, he wants to keep it. So he is answering a Bittl question. You're right. He's answering this question. Why would he do Bittl now if he wants to keep it? The answer is, it's not that he wants to keep it. It's just that he needs to be Kovash's Yitzer. And I just think you could say it without the Mi'iri, with a little Pashut psychology. What's the Pashut psychology? The Pashut psychology is, I think near a Pashut, that like people are complicated. People want and don't want things at the same time. Maybe this is really what the Mi'iri is saying, right? Meaning, if you ask a person, does he really want to do the right thing or do the wrong thing? The answer is yes and yes. Right, we have two Yetzers and we're very complex. What do we say? He doesn't really want to own the Chametz. But he really does want the Chametz. He really wants to burn the Chametz. That's why if he did Bittl, it would be sincere. Also, if he could do a sincere Bittl, why wouldn't he burn it? The answer is because when he does a sincere Bittl, he's sincere in his Bittl, but still he's like happy that he hasn't burnt it yet. Doesn't that make Bittl insincere? And the answer is, and here I think this is the assumption judging people in life. No, everyone's a little insincere about everything. And, you know, there's a line someplace. And as long as he mostly, I think really is what Amir is saying, as long as he mostly doesn't want the Chametz, he basically doesn't want the Chametz, he just struggles with it. If you struggle with something, it doesn't make you insincere. If you're a faker and a hypocrite, it makes you insincere. A struggle doesn't make you insincere. A 1% of insincerity is not insincerity, it's humanity. And I think that's kind of Rashi. I think Rashi was just a good psychologist. What's he saying? He's saying that he, you know, that as he's saying, he 99% wants to do the right thing. 1% wants the chametz. Therefore, he's willing to do a bittul. Why? Because it's still there. He hasn't destroyed it. And he can live with that little bit of insincerity. You know? And his bittul is sincere. But if you ask him to burn it, he's not going to want to burn it right away. If you're not burning it, it's really gone. So yes, you're questioning a little sincerity of bittul, but I think that's fair. So let me say this a little better. Let's say 99% doesn't want it. Doesn't have to be 99%, it could be 90%. Let's make it 95. Sure. 5% does want it. And therefore, his bittul is forthcoming and sincere, and his previous bittul is not nullified, right? And not retracted. In that, if Maskana, he has to, you know, but he hesitates to destroy it forever. He knows Bittl, he's willing to Bittl, because he knows that he can always eat it after the Bittl. Does that make it insincere? No. A little insincerity doesn't make you insincere. That's the yisod of life. That's the yisod of dealing with human beings. Right? He's willing to be Mvatl, and he means the Bittl, because he knows that Bittl's not really 100% final. Doesn't that mean he's a faker and a hypocrite? No. That means he's human, but he's not willing to destroy it for the first minute, because he knows destruction is forever. Maybe that's what the Mi'iri means. You know, the Mi'iri means, no. He's willing to be unvatil it. Just to destroy it, he has to grapple with his, he has to fight, struggle with his Yetzer. If he's still struggling with his Yetzer, how is it a valid bittul? No, it's a valid bittul because just because you're struggling doesn't mean that it's not valid. You know, if someone says, no, I really, really, whatever the case may be, you know, I really want to do tshuva, and I'm really going to calm myself not to do this again. Even if there's a little struggle there, and you know what? I would even go so far as to say it's not tshuva shleima, etc. But even if someone says, I'm really promising not to do it again, I'm going to calm myself not to do it again, and it takes them another few minutes to throw out the dice, that doesn't mean that their tshuva was worthless. That just means that their tshuva was not the highest madriga of Shmei HaShemayim. But people struggle. Their tshuva was sincere, even though it took them another 5 minutes to throw out the dice. If the whole time they were planning to keep the dice and keep their options open, they might be a hypocrite, right? There's a limit. But even if it takes you another day to throw out your dice, your tshuva was still sincere. You were just struggling. Struggling doesn't mean it wasn't sincere. So you didn't retract your old bittul on Maskana, and in the Havamina, you're willing to bittul, and you're sincere about your bittul. That's really what the Mi'iri is saying. I think it's just insight into human psychology. Okay, we only got through two. of the, let's say, four mainstream pshatim here. So we'll just have to pick up. I'm sorry we didn't get through everything. We'll have to pick up with this Amir Tashem on Thursday. We'll finish up the sugya, and then we'll also discuss a little about Inkushish Adam, Masano Kasab Gilu Rishusam, and Amir Tashem try to finish up Bob Kamad Base.
Okay, so you got up to the Rambam?
So I didn't do Tosos, but Tosos is very posh. There's not much to say about it. So I got up to the Rambam. Basically, I have to do the Rambam and then number three and four. The Rambam and then number three and four.
Okay. Rebbe?
Does the Rambam, do you like the idea? Mm. Yeah, does the Rambam fit better than with Didate?
Okay, Morty, what did you want to ask?
Yeah, you have all the psychological thing. Keeping Pesach and not eating chametz isn't like tefillin. You have to have your das on all the time.